Naples. On that fateful day, though I traveled out, I came back on that same 28th. When I came back, I couldn't find my family. I called my wife. She said that she had been trying to get across to me, but the network was bad. I said, "Where are you?" She said, "She's in the barracks, the Air Force barracks, with my cousin brother." I said, "What of my late brother's family?" She said, "They're still at home. They didn't move away from the house." I said, "Why?" I slept in the house. That fateful day on the 29th, early in the morning, I woke up around 5. Something said to me, "Get these people ready and move out of this place. Take them to a safer place, to the Air Force barracks." I went out. After I finished my prayers, the day of broken, I went out, I bought some tea ingredients, went to the house so that we'll have some breakfast before we start moving. Then something keep telling me that go out and see what is happening. Something keep telling me. My mind keeps beating. My brother's daughter was sweeping the compound. Went out, she now saw a crowd. They have already surrounded us. That breakfast, we couldn't take it anymore. What came into my mind when the girl ran inside and told us that, "Daddy, daddy, come and see people, come and see people." When I came out and saw the crowd, I told my brother's wife to carry the kids and enter one room. Go on your knees and keep praying. And a voice just came to me saying, "Go and talk to these people. Go and talk to these people." I started shivering. I shared it with my brother's wife. I said, "Look at the voice that is telling me that I should go and talk to these people. Whom am I to go and talk to these people?" She said, "The Lord is with you." That was just the last comment she told me. And I locked it. I locked them inside. I said, "Go in and pray." When I came out, the people within my area have already come out too. Some with sticks, some with daggers, and the rest. And what I told them was, "What are you people going to do with this? Go and drop these things and stay in your houses. Nothing is going to happen." Looking at those people, it is not the Muslims that came in. It is the Christians. Because in that territory, there's no way a Muslim person will be there. Because it is all the areas where the Christian resides. Now, that voice keep telling me, "Go and talk to them." And there's a specific person, an elderly person. He's my tribal man, but he's a Muslim. I told him, "Baba, go and keep the stick. Follow me, let's go and talk to these people." He said, "These children will never listen, they will never hear you." I said, "I will try. Let's go. If you know you cannot go, please stay. And if you know you're going to follow me with this stick, please don't go." They started stoning. In fact, my brother's house was just like the house that they're targeting, because that's the first house that they're going to approach first. So they were stoning that very house, to be specific. I now raise up my hand, I surrender, keep moving to them. It was a hill. I climbed the hill up. Getting to the middle, I saw somebody waving his hand like this, just raise up his hand like this and told these people to stop. That they should wait and hear from me. What am I coming there to do? Since I've already surrendered, they should listen to me. So when I came closer, they now asked me to stop there, and I stopped there. Few of them came and met me. "Who are you? Introduce yourself." And I told them that my name is Jim Joshua. Then they now said, "Are you one of us?" I said, "Who are you?" They said, "We are Christians." I said, "Thank God, I'm a Christian too. Why are you coming to us?" I said, "I come to talk to you people. Why do you people want to troop in into this place?" They said, "They are here for the Muslims. They are here to help us. They are here to kill the Muslims so that they will help us." And I'm now questioning them like that. Somebody now gave me a dirty slap. I said, "I'm sorry. I don't mean to provoke you, but there are no Muslims here." They said, "It's a lie. There are Muslims." I said, yes. It's not that there are no Muslims as such, but they are just very few. And those Muslims, they can't do anything here because they are all tribal Muslims. And they don't have houses here. They only rent from some of us. That was just what I told them. But if you go, they insisted that they must enter and burn all the houses, that all the people residing here are Christians. And I proved myself to them. I have to remove all the ID cards that I have within me. Prove myself to them. Before now, somebody shouted my name amidst them. He said, Joshua, I know you. You were once a choir master in EYM. That was just what I had. And I said, thank God, one of you know me. The only person that I can only know and recognize in among them is their leader. He was once a colleague of my late elder brother. And he was the same person that stopped them from doing what they are supposed to do. Now, as we were talking, they were coming down. We were all coming down, reaching in front of my late brother's house. They now said, they are going to use me so that I will now show them all their rooms. They are not going to burn any house since the houses does not belong to them, but I'll have to point out all their rooms. Let them bring out all their things, burn it to ashes. They said, where are the Muslims? I said, they've already run away since yesterday. Meanwhile, on the 28th, the son of that old man created a problem in that community. Mm. I wasn't around. Mm. I just came and heard the news. The elders of that community called on themselves, talked to themselves, that we shouldn't allow anything to happen here. For donkey years, we've been together, there was no problem. We shouldn't allow anybody to come and intimidate us or to come and cause problems to us. They now called the youths again to address them. And that boy took an offense. He said, no, that enough is enough. That they're killing, that the Christians are killing their brothers inside town. They must take a revenge here. They try to talk to him. He failed to understand. Even their own imam there tried to talk to him. He refused. He said he must retaliate. Now, there was one of the elderly person there that spoke to him very badly. He refused to agree with what they said. That old man raised up his hand, wanted to slap the boy. His BP now rise up. He now fell down there and collapsed. They took him to hospital. Immediately I came back that same 28th, I was told about this story. And the first thing I did was I called on the boy. I said, Yakubu, why are you behaving like this? For several times I've been talking to you concerning fighting from one fight to another. Why are you behaving like this? And you just get married. You have kids now. Why can't you stay and take care of your family? He said, Uncle, I've listened to you. I will do it again. Now on that 29th, as we were talking in front of my brother's house, that same boy just opened his mouth and said, Allahu Akbar, that we're fighting jihad here. He just, as he screamed like that, he picked race. They now said to me, Shebi, you said there's no Muslim here. They now carry dagger, want to stab me. I said, please, I'm sorry. This person, I don't know him. I pretended that way. I collected a stick from one of them. I said, allow me to kill this boy myself. As I was running after him, I was speaking my dialect to him because we were in the same tribe. Mm-hmm. I was telling him to run away from his life. His father is there to testify this. Before I would come back, somebody now pinpointed his father and said, this is the father of the boy. Mm-hmm. They start brutalizing him with dagger, machetes, and the rest. Set fire on him and petrol. Mm-hmm. When I came, I saw it, I now pleaded with them. Grab the man like this. It's just that I thank God the fire didn't gather me. I pleaded with them not to touch the old man. They are the same people that use their hands in quenching the fire from the man. They now said, we agree with you, but next time don't lie to us. I said, I didn't lie. In the midst of all this crowd, how would I know that these people have come in again? have to pretend it like that. As we're doing that, one of them grew annoyed and set fire on my late elder brother's house. I now have to start pleading with them again. They now quenched the fire. As I was now trying to go to my house, they called me back. They said, come, I come. They now start asking me, whose house is this? Whose house is this? That same boy's house. I said, no, it is not that boy's house. And he doesn't live here. I protected about 50 houses there because I counted them. All the houses they pinpointed, I would count. 50 houses. I protected all those houses. They now said, but there's a mosque inside. And I told them, yes, I won't lie to you. There's a mosque. Now, to please them, I have to tell them that you can go there, bring the mosque, destroy the mosque, but don't burn it. Because the house that is directly close to the mosque belongs to my sister. That was what I told them. They now said, we agree, we will not do that. As we were moving together with them, because they say I must follow them, as we were moving with them, there was one of my neighbors that I used to park my car in front of his house. He's a Fulani man. They now said, this is one of them. They now carried up. He was trying to close his door. They kind of pushing, you know, struggling. I was pleading with them. At long last, they succeeded in opening the door, bring him out. They want to start stabbing him with machete. I pleaded with them. I went on my knees. The person was on the ground lying down. I was on my knees. I told them that instead of killing this man, please kill me. Then their leader now said, for this man to protect this man, you know there is something. And moreover, this man, he's a very, very old man. What can he do? Let's just leave him. They entered the house, the man's house. They didn't see anybody. They now said, okay, let's go. Before I would know, some of them said, we won't agree. This man is a liar. Before I know, they stabbed me with dagger. I just started feeling dizzy. Before, my phone was on my hand. Now, before I went off, I called the security. That was just what I knew. I didn't even know when I was taken to the hospital. Mm-hmm. That's just what I knew. But meanwhile, there was a boy that was killed in front of my late brother's house. Mm-hmm. Together with that old man, yeah, a Muslim boy. They were kind of stoning them. After I've left that place, they were stoning those people with stone. They now said, since these people are stoning us, we must deal with them. Now they now killed, they stabbed that boy to death, set fire on him, he died. That was the main reason why they were annoyed with me and stabbed me on the head.
The old man died also?
That old man did not die. The old man that they stabbed did not die. Up to now that I'm still telling you, he's still in the hospital.
He's the man.
But that second old man, the Fulani man, did not die because they didn't touch him. But, how would I say, he got a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Spent some couple of days in the hospital. After some couple of days, they brought him back home. He now passed away.
He passed away. Mm-hmm.